Today's scripture is from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. Thanks be to God.
This is the Sunday we observe as Ascension Sunday in the liturgical church year. Actually, Ascension Day was Thursday. And Joe Haynes reminded or told me that, which I didn't know, that it's an important day for the Amish, because he tried to go to the Amish nursery place out there in Interlaken, and they were closed. So different parts of the Christian church put more emphasis on Ascension Day than others. But Ascension Day is 40 days after Easter, 10 days until Pentecost. So we observe this Sunday as Ascension Sunday. It's an interesting story, really only described in the Gospel of Luke and the first chapter of Acts. Matthew, Mark, and John deal with Jesus' ending of his earthly presence in different ways. It's not about a rocket launch to heaven or a Star Trek beam me up, Scotty. I think I've told you before that the Ascension always reminds me of one of my favorite ever moments as a youth and children's minister at the church up in Lake Avenue Baptist Church, when the sixth grade Sunday school class insisted that this was the story they wanted to act out on Children's Sunday. It presented some logistical challenges, as you might recognize. How do you make Jesus go up? Fortunately, Lake Avenue has an interesting baptistry up behind the platform where there's a wall coming out before you descend into the baptistry. So we were able to take the smallest child in the sixth grade class, who was Mary, who was quite small, and a ladder, and my son Luke, who had been working out a lot in his high school years, and he manages to lift Mary off behind the wall and disappear her behind the cardboard cloud. It was a great moment. Of course, in our 21st century worldview understandings, even the notion of ascension doesn't make much sense, does it? I mean, where is up if the earth is round? Right? In the first century, they of course thought the earth was flat and that heaven was up there above. They actually pictured, if you read into it and look at it more closely in the Hebrew scriptures, they pictured sort of this canopy separating the waters below and the waters above. And here's the earth sort of floating on the waters, and then God's keeping the waters up there, and I guess occasionally lets a corner slip so the rain comes down. I don't know quite how that all worked, but the point is, in their minds it made sense. God was up. But we know there's no up from a ball, an earth. And with all we know now about the vastness of our galaxy and the entire universe, We know it makes no sense that there's some literal place up there, out there, where God dwells. Of course not. So what meaning does this ascension story have for us? As I said, only Luke and Acts even talk about it, not in exactly the same way, which is interesting given they have the same author. In Luke's version, which Lydia just read, it seems to be almost immediately after Easter, whereas in Acts, there's this claim of 40 days. Of course, 40 is that number, right? In scriptures, 40 is a number for wholeness, completeness, fullness of time. So after resurrection, in the fullness of time, Jesus departs. The choir's anthem had some of that sense of what I'm trying to get. In his post-resurrection appearances that you read about in the different gospels, he kind of keeps showing up to them to prove he is alive, to prove that although he's changed, he still has a body. He eats. He can be touched. He can be felt. He's not just a ghost. He's not just a vision. He is in a resurrected body. He tells them, feel my wounds, see, it is I. And he keeps explaining to them why he had to die, how the scriptures led to this, how it makes sense. My husband Bill spent last weekend in Atlanta with his cousin, who's become a Russian Orthodox, and participated in their Orthodox celebration of Holy Saturday and Easter last weekend. And he was really struck, and as he shared with me, that in the Orthodox tradition, Easter is all about defeat of death. Christ the victor. By death, he has overcome death. So, what does this Sunday, this time, mean for us? It's about an ending in the story. The end of Jesus' physical presence in any form here on earth. It's a limbo in between time before Pentecost. When Jesus says to them, wait, go back to the city and wait. Wait for the promise. Wait for the power. Wait for what I've told you is coming. And then Jesus leaves them. Yesterday I discovered, and I encourage you to look this up online. I couldn't quite figure out how to get myself organized to have David show it to you here. Salvador Dali's painting of the Ascension. Anybody ever seen it? Right? It's a fascinating painting. This round, glowing light and Jesus' feet going up with what apparently is Mary's face kind of peering over the edge of the round glowing circle. I think it captures some of what those followers may have felt in that moment. He left them behind. He went somewhere. Somehow, no longer here. In fact, in the Acts version, two angels appear and say to them, why are you still standing here looking up into heaven? What are you doing? What are you looking for? They were focusing on being left behind. I think most of us, if we stop and think a moment, have at some time in our life had that feeling of being left behind. As a younger sibling, I remember when my older siblings went away and left me behind. All the different times in our lives, people have left us behind, or life has left us behind, or someone has passed away and left us behind. They were focusing on that. And that he was trying to get them to to see. And perhaps why they needed that limbo waiting was to shift gears to what was happening, what was being opened up to them, and now, ever since, to all of us. This new reality that we now live in. In John's gospel, Jesus says, "It is good for you that I go away, because the Spirit will come." Mark Davis is a commentator that I frequently read on the New Testament, and it was his blog title that I thought of when I was thinking of what to call this message, because his blog title is "Left Behind and Loving It." The Spirit is what we get because he left. The bodily presence of Jesus of Nazareth was ended and over, and the Christ consciousness, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, let loose in the world in a whole new way, not limited by place or time, always present wherever, whenever, in each and every one of us. In all of creation, the power of God, the presence of God, always available. That's where we live now. But we gotta wake up. We've gotta live into it. We've gotta open up. And so this week's invitation, Ascension to Pentecost, open. Be ready. Who knows what the Spirit wants to do in you and me right now? Are we willing? Are we ready? Will we say yes to whatever is happening next? The last thing Laura Peters said to me was the Thursday night before she died after choir practice. She and Bill and I ran into each other out here, and we were talking about the fir tree being gone and how it opened up the space. And Laura, as she walked off, said, "Yeah, change is good." Can we claim it? Can we embrace it? Can we believe that the change, the transformation, the endings, yes, and the new beginnings of our lives are all good? God's always working to make them oh so good. Let's wait this week. Let's watch this week. Let's be praying to be open for the Spirit to move in our lives. Amen.